congratulations to her. She said, as soon as she gave up that quest of more, bigger, greater, or the jealousy of seeing other actors who came up with her getting more famous or making more money more quickly, she said, I'm letting that aside. I'm just going to do better work. And if people start to notice me, that's fine. Well, recently she was doing Wicked in Chicago. She's been doing that for the past 2 years. And then she didn't even want to do the play. Now, this is what Rondi Reed was telling us last night on the Tony special. She turned down August Osage County 4 times before finally saying to the playwright, all right, you know, let me give it a... She didn't even want to read the script. 4 times, Tracy Letts came to her and said, you know, I wrote this character for you. This character of the sister of the woman who's going around the bend in the play. And he said, please, you've got to do this. It's your thing. She said, I don't want to be bothered. I'm making a good living doing Wicked. Probably a better living than she's made in the theater in years and years. And it's not what I'm really into right now. But he begged and he pleaded, and finally she read the play, realized that it was darn good, and that the part that he had written for her, she could really, really do well. Took it on, did it in sort of a break time between Wicked that she was working on in Chicago. Well, as we know, August Osage County took off, it went to Broadway, and now it is the Broadway Tony winner, Best Play of 2008. She, the Best Featured Actress in a Play in 2008. And what other awards did Osage County win? I'll tell you in a moment. It won for Best Set of a Play for that huge house. It's got 3 levels with an attic and the dining room on the left and the father's area, the study, on the right. And so Todd Rosenthal won for Best Set Design of a Play for Osage County. And also the director, Anna D. Shapiro, won for staging that drama. And anybody else so far? Oh, Deanna Dunnigan, of course, the mother, the woman going around the bend and doing a few too many pills. Deanna Dunnigan, winner for leading actress in a play for August Osage County. Now I'm going to check, let's see, the theater website one more time to see if we have any more winners to announce as far as this year's Tony Awards. Let's see, anything new? I think I mentioned that Boeing won for Best Revival of a Play, which it's not like I loved Boeing so much, but I hated The Homecoming so much, and that had seemed to be the favorite. That was the one people thought would win, so it's kind of nice that it didn't. And if any of them in the category had to win, I guess Boeing would be my choice. You had Best Revival of a Musical, South Pacific did win. That was pretty much expected, even though 3 of the 4 choices in that category were exceptional and exquisite. You had Gypsy, Sunday in the Park with George, and South Pacific. And then also in the 4th place, you had Grease. That, I don't know why they bothered to put that in, but they could have just left it with 3, but they would have felt like they were slighting Grease or something that's still playing and still trying to sell tickets, and selling tickets very, very well, in fact. So that's just a purely commercial thing of having Grease on there as Best Revival. But Gypsy, South Pacific, Sunday in the Park with George, all beautiful jobs, all really well received, but South Pacific, as expected, came away with the big win. So congratulations to them on that, and definitely deserved. So, oh, Mike Rourke, yay! Okay, this one is new to me. Mark Rylance won for Best Performance by a Leading Actor in a Play. Congratulations to him, and I had to say, he's also a Boeing person, so Boeing has won for Best Revival of a Play, and Mark Rylance as a Best Leading Actor in a Play. And let me tell you something, Boeing is funny, it's very enjoyable, it's a bit too long, and it has some kind of points and silly and stupid moments, but watching Mark Rylance in that show, he's a master. He is just a sensational actor that you cannot look away from. When he is on stage, and I would guess he is on stage 80% of the time in Boeing. And so, no matter what anybody else is doing, and there's a lot of mugging and running around and yelling and screaming and cavorting, and girls in various states of semi-dress, and, you know, all that is pleasing and distracting, but when Mark Rylance sees this calm, kooky eye of the hurricane, he's this I don't know if you know the show, but it has to do with this man, not the Mark Rylance character, who has been juggling three different girlfriends, and they're all airline stewardesses, stewardi, as Shelley Berman used to say in his routine. And so he would do this and manage this with his apartment because the stewardi had all these varying schedules of where they would fly. And I think they're all from different airlines, which helped matters as well. So you'd see one girl on an overnight on a Thursday, Friday, then you'd see another on a Saturday, Sunday, and it worked out great. He had the schedule, he has a maid helping keep his schedule and fix all the different meals that they like from the different countries that they're from. Except this one particular weekend, they all happen to be in town at the same exact time, and they all come to visit their boyfriend. And it's up to him and the maid and his visiting old friend from long ago, played by Mark Rylance, to kind of keep the balance and keep them from knowing and seeing each other, even though they're all in the same place at the same time. So Mark Rylance plays this friend who is this milquetoasty, very wishy-washy, Buster Keaton-esque character. And he could, yeah, he could have played that the whole way through, but what's beautiful about the way he plays it is that he also takes this vicarious thrill and joy of watching his old friend. He doesn't take a moral approach of like, oh, this is wrong and shame on you. The approach is, oh my God, he's doing this, he's my friend, he's in trouble, I've got to help him out. And boy, isn't it amazing that he has these beautiful, wild women running around his apartment, and I wish I could taste some of that. And part of the fun of the play is that he gets to. And the real fun of watching this production is watching Mark Rylance do that character and take that on. And I'm very, very happy that Mark Rylance has won for the Tony Award for Best Leading Actor in a Play for Boeing Boeing. As I said, Diana Dunnigan won for Leading Actress in a Play in August, Osage County. Ah, and this is new news from Tony Central. Also, very, very much expected, Paolo Sott, hope I'm pronouncing that right, Paolo Sott, who's playing the male lead in South Pacific, opposite Kelly O'Hara, he has won for Best Leading Actor in a Musical. He's the guy who gets to sing Some Enchanted Evening, and he's really, really good. A lot of people are saying that he is the best Emile Debec, the French planter. He's the best one that they've ever seen. Now, granted, there haven't been that many to choose from for most of us New Yorkers because South Pacific, for some weird, kooky reason, has not been revived commercially, professionally in New York since its opening 60-odd years ago. That's the funny thing about some of these shows. Like, Gypsy's done every 10 years. Grease seems to be done every 10 years. And yet, you get a show like as important and beautiful as South Pacific, and it's been 60 years since Broadway has had it. But it's kind of nice, the fact that in the production that they brought in, they've done it perfectly. They got superb leads in Paolo Sott and Kelly O'Hara, and they've gotten really fine, fine direction from Bartlett Sher, who won the Tony tonight, and a beautiful set design that also won the Tony, and so the whole mood of it is just right, and the actors are fine, and it just conveys this feeling. And some people have not complained, but they've said it could have been a little more raucous. They could have had a little more energy, a little more fun or liveliness at certain points of the show, but because it keeps the mood and the spirit and is so interested in its people, I think the South Pacific is actually very, very special, and people respond to it and are surprisingly touched and moved by its central love story while watching all the other little stories going on around it as well. So congratulations to all the Tony folks. What we're going to do on Dave's Gone By, coming up in just a minute or so, is go through more of this Tony stuff. I'm expecting Jeff Goodman, my usual co-host on Dave's Gone By, to arrive fairly shortly. I think he may be watching the Tonys to the very, very, very end and then jumping in the car to join us. I hope he will. Also, I'm hoping might be able to get my father on the phone for Father's Day, because it is June 15th. I hope you had a good Father's Day if you're a father or have a living dad, and that you did something fun for him or with him. And also, I'm going to pay a little tribute to my wife, even though she's probably sleeping right now. She's had a busy, busy weekend and is exhausted, but it's her birthday tomorrow. So I wanted to wish her a very, very happy. And can't get her on the phone? Well, we'll just do more theater stuff on Dave's Gone By. An hour of comedy, talk radio, music, and more that we will begin after these messages. You're listening to WGBB Freeport. You're listening to AM 1240 or AM 1240 WGBB.com. You're listening to Dave's Gone By. You're obviously a very lonely person.
There goes the Daverhood.
You got David Lefkowitz here. He's a Long Island arts guy. He's got his own radio show.
Greetings from Long Island, where every highway is a sunrise. It's time for Dave's Gone By, an hour of comedy, talk, and music brought to you by Total Theater, with your host, Dave Lefkowitz. You've never heard anything like it, so sit back, relax, squeal if you must. Here's the host of Dave's Gone By, Dave!
Tropical hot dog night! I shoot flamingos in a fruit fight! Every color of day, twirling around at night.
Well, there goes the theatrical Daverhood, everybody. Welcome, welcome, welcome. On the Sunday night, Tony night, and Father's Day night, June 15th, 2008, to the 278th episode of Dave's Gone By. And people are a little confused with the numbering here, because last week's was 276. It's because we're going to call last night the 277th, because we were here yesterday, Saturday evening, doing the WGBB Tony Awards special, the fourth annual Tony Awards special that I've been proud enough to produce here and work on and co-host. So had a really wonderful time. I hope you all got to hear it, or at least parts of it. And we are trying, within the next couple of days, to get the show online for you, the whole 2.5 hours of it, and so you can relive the magical moments of the WGBB Tony special, which included my co-host Jeff Goodman, whom I'm expecting fairly shortly. He's probably home watching the Tonys and then jumping in his car to drive over as soon as they're over to talk about them with us, because tonight is Tony night, and they just finished about 2 minutes ago giving away all the prizes, and we'll be talking relentlessly and endlessly about that. And also, Michael Regal was our other special guest, the columnist for the New York Post, and also you can see him on TV's Theater Talk. And we had a marvelous time, plus we had a whole bunch of people calling in, a lot of critics giving their predictions, and not only what they thought would win, but what they hoped would win, or in a perfect world, what their nominees and winners would have been. Plus we had two Tony nominees on the show, including Daniel Breaker from Passing Strange and Rondi Reed from August Osage County. And I'm very, very happy to say, for the second year in a row, we had a Tony winner. Woohoo! I wish I had a woohoo button. I don't. So you'll just have to make believe I'm pressing a button when I go, woohoo! Rondi Reed, winner for Best Featured Actress in a Play for August Osage County. And she was one of our guests last night on the Tony special. The year before, we had Bill T. Jones, the choreographer for Spring Awakening. So 2 years in a row, that's kind of neat that we've had someone as a guest who went on a couple of days later to win the Tony. So very, very happy about that. And lots to talk about, tell you about the winners, tell you about all that kind of stuff. And I'm going to wait for most of that until hopefully Jeff gets here and we'll take it from there. But first, I want to thank the sponsors of Dave's Gone By. Get that out of the way. Not in a bad way, not to say, oh, let's get the advertisers and sponsors out of the way. No, because without them, we would not and could not be here, and we love them, and we love talking about them. Like Hewlett Minuteman Press, the copy Kings of Broadway, located at 1315 Broadway in Hewlett, Long Island. Any job, big or small, you get 10% off if you tell them Dave's Gone By sent you at ULIT Minuteman Press. 516-569-5577 is their number. 516-569-5577. Also, this program is brought to you by Performing Arts Insider, the theatrical Bible for 65 years. Founded in 1944. Not by me, although I do work for them now. For more information about Performing Arts Insider, go to performingartsinsider.com. And that's also where you'll find out that Dave's Gone By listeners can get a full year, 12 issues of Performing Arts Insider for just $120. That's $10 an issue. Well, sounds pretty expensive, but this is a journal that is used in the industry, the entertainment and theater industry. And this is the journal that bookers for CBS and NBC and all these big shows use when they're trying to figure out who their guests are going to be for the next 2 or 3 weeks. This is, I can't list the names of people who subscribe, of course, but take it from me. It's a lot of big, fairly honcho-y kind of folks in the entertainment industry and the theater industry who subscribe to Performing Arts Insider. And again, they're paying $15 an issue. You, because you listen to this show, can get it as inexpensively as $10 an issue. Just go to davesgoneby.org for more information, and of course, performingartsinsider.com. And also, thank you to our sponsor, Fancy Schmancy Balloons. That's Jeff's business. Jeff, when he's not looking at the theater or looking back at me from another microphone, Jeff Goodman is the proprietor of Fancy Schmancy Balloons for all your party decorating needs. It isn't just balloons, although he does these big, beautiful balloon constructions and archways and things like that, but he also does the centerpieces, those nice themes that parties and bar mitzvahs and christenings and graduations have. Give Jeff a call at 516-797-3229. 516-797-3229 for Fancy Schmancy Balloons. Well, we've got a lot to do on this Dave's Gone By episode, including a Tony wrap-up on our Inside Broadway segment, all the thoughts not only about our Tony special last night, but about the Tony Awards ceremony that just ended in New York this evening. Also, I'm going to have a few thoughts about my wonderful wife, Joyce, who has a birthday tomorrow, or literally within about 52 minutes. So she's going to be sleeping. We were hoping to have her on the air, but I don't think she's going to be awake for this one, unfortunately. She's had a rather busy weekend. But we will have, in honor of Father's Day, and I'm very happy about this, a return guest to this show, one and only, my dad, and we will get to him right after these messages. Shalom, damn it! This is Rabbi Sol Solomon of Temple Sons of Bitches in Great Neck, New York. And I personally invite you to watch my TV show, Shalom Dammit, Rabbi Sol Solomon's Peace, Love, and Acid Reflux Hour, every Wednesday and Friday morning at 7:30 on Cablevision Channel 115. If you've never seen a Jew before, this is your chance! Shalom Dammit, 7:30 Wednesday and Friday mornings, Channel 115, or in Manhattan, Channel 67 Sunday afternoons at 1:30, or anytime, anywhere on YouTube. Shalom Dammit! Have my blessing. What could be better than blessings from the rabbi, Rabbi Sol? Actually, there is probably one better thing than a blessing from Rabbi Sol Solomon. It would be one from your parents. And I hope you had a good and fun and blessed holiday, Father's Day, here on June 15th. And so I am blessed to have my dad on the phone with us in the neighborhood. He's been here quite a few times, but always great to have him back. Hello, Dad. How are you?
Pretty good, thank you. Had a lovely day.
Oh, well, yes, we all went out. We went to the delicatessen in Long Beach called, what is it?
Lido.
Lido, of course, where they, oh, that was some good pastrami. And we cut thick. I'm not doing a commercial for them, but I'm just saying, this is totally off the instance. They make a good pastrami. How was yours? What did you have?
That's a sandwich.
Hey, Mata Samovich, what did you end up having there? A wrap of some sort, I think, right?
Yeah, turkey.
You don't sound too thrilled.
Well,
turkey,
you know,
isn't pastrami.
Do too much damage.
Oh, I see. Well, yeah. Well, that's...
Can't have too much salt, and I can't have... Yeah, and your mother watches me like a hawk.
Even on Father's Day, you've got to be a good boy.
Well, you know, she lets me get away with some stuff.
I think you got part of a pickle. You were allowed to do that. But you took, no, it's true. Dad took off the tomato from his wrap and gave it to me. Because then this is really fairly new to me. I hadn't heard about any of this, but you have stopped eating tomatoes. Why?
Nightshade vegetables, because they say that if you have arthritis, it is not a good idea to have nightshade vegetables.
Okay.
Which, of course, tomatoes are one.
Do you have arthritis?
Yeah.
Oh, I did. I was never quite sure about that. Where?
In the knee. Knees, particularly the left knee.
But your knees have been bad for many, many years. It wasn't arthritis from the first, or was it?
Who knows?
Ah, good point. So, aside from, so you gave up tomatoes, and what are other quote-unquote nightshade vegetables?
I don't recall offhand.
I think green pepper is a no-no. Is that true?
Green pepper, yes, that's correct.
Okay.
Red peppers, strangely enough, are okay. And that's good because I love red peppers. I'm not crazy about green peppers.
Me too. Same exact taste. Have you ever tried? And we're going to go all over the map. And this is not a typical Dave's Gone By episode because now I'm just shooting the breeze with my dad. Basically, let me also explain to the viewers that I put like tons and tons of energy into yesterday's big special. So this is kind of the overflow. This is like I had a huge triple mocha latte last night, and now whatever's flopped off onto the counter is tonight's show. And Dan, I'm so proud you're a part of that. So yes, we're going to segue now into red peppers. Have you tried the long sweet red peppers? They have them at Trader Joe's. Oh, are they good?
Long? How long are you talking about?
I beg your pardon? No, in other words, you know how you get the peppers in the supermarket, and they're basically, they look like
when
tomatoes.
When correctly viewed, everything is lewd.
I can tell you things about Peter Pan and the Wizard of Oz is a dirty old man. Yeah.
Dirty old man, right.
Thank you, Tom Lehrer. No, but when you normally look at a pepper that you get from the supermarket, it's either kind of roundish like a tomato would be, or it's a little more oblong. But these sweet Italian peppers that they have, and the best ones seem to be at Trader Joe's, are much more curved. They're almost like a God, it's hard to, sort of like a hook, almost. They're thicker at the shoulders of it, and then they tail down like a snake a little bit.
I wouldn't be surprised if these came from Trader Joe's, but I just happen to like the red peppers, so I'm not sure just where they're coming from.
Okay, cool.
But
they are
so much more tasty than
green peppers, yeah.
Than the green, oh.
Absolutely. And it's good that you can have those, even though you're giving up tomatoes and green peppers. And I forget, what, eggplant? Is that a good, or is that okay?
Yes, right.
Eggplant is a no-no.
It's a no-no.
All right, well.
What I like about eggplant was growing it at one point. But cooking it was.
Yeah, we never had luck with that. We didn't have, when I was living at home with my folks, we always knock wood. Had luck with tomatoes. They would just grow really nicely in the backyard. We lose a few to bugs and slugs. Even if you put beer out, you're going to lose some. But most of the time, you've got a nice batch, and they were really delicious. There is a difference between homegrown backyard tomatoes to the store-bought. But,
like night and day. It was like the store-bought were plastic.
And
compared with what you grew in, at home.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And even if you lost a part of the crop, it was well worth it.
And we would have sometimes enough to give the neighbors. You know, you have a few tomato plants, and if they're growing and you keep the bugs off, you really get a nice bounty.
That one, you remember the one year I was going around giving it away to everybody?
Man, I wish I had some of those tomatoes now, I'll tell you.
Oh, you and me both. Well, except I can't eat them.
Oh, right, yeah, exactly.
At the moment.
But that was the only vegetable, though, that we really had serious success with. We have occasional zucchini or a cucumber.
No, we had
I
didn't have too much success with cucumbers, but the zucchini, oh, yeah.
Oh, you did have, okay. Maybe I just didn't like zucchini as much, so I didn't care whether it grew or not. I don't know. And then I didn't care whether it grew or died or not. I was like, oh, the zucchini died. Oh, well. I'll have another tomato instead, you know.
Yeah.
But some of the other veggies, like carrots, never worked. I don't know what else we planted back there. But, well, figs, way back when, we used to have really wonderful, bountiful, delicious, fresh figs.
Yeah, well, now we're down to two trees.
Yeah.
But the two trees now are getting huge.
But are they giving fruit, or are they just getting huge as trees?
Well, we had some fruit last year.
Oh, very nice. That's good.
And God, well, you see, now apparently they're big enough to survive the winter so far.
Oh, okay.
And they don't have to be covered. It's covered. And if you remember, that's what we went through with the burlap.
Oh, my God, I'll never forget that.
Oh, what a chore that was.
Have to go out there with rope and twine and burlap. And usually it was always in horrible cold weather because we wait until the season was over. You know, you don't want to be wrapping them in the middle of August. You got to wait until it cools down. And then, like, the last half-manageable weekend before winter sets in, it's like, oh, God, we forgot to cover the figs. And we slip out there with ugh, what a pain. And it went, we didn't mind it when the fig trees were very, very fecund. And you would get, you know, pounds of them from our three little trees in the backyard. But then there was one season when they just, I think they were cut back too far. And
no,
they,
I think I used the wrong stuff to wrap them.
Oh, whoops.
I didn't have burlap.
What did you use?
I think I used some synthetic.
Yeah.
And apparently it didn't let it breathe, and bingo, one of them died.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
And the production got cut down from literally having, I don't know, a bushel of figs to having a couple of handfuls. After a whole season. And then you got a couple of handfuls of figs, and here you have to go wrap them again. And we were like, you know what? They live, they live. They die, they die.
Exactly.
They're figs in the supermarket. Screw it, you know?
But the trouble is, if you don't get out there in the nick of time, you know, you have to get them just when they're ripening at the right moment.
Oh, yeah, or else it's
because
an ant parade.
2 seconds after they're ripe, they're attacked by these ants.
Oh, yeah.
Red ants. I don't know where they come from. All of a sudden, they materialize on the fruit.
Big ants, I guess they must be.
And they decimate it.
I know. And figs, by the way, I know people may like or might not like Fig Newtons, but if you've never had a fresh fig off a tree,
are nothing like what you get in the Fig Newton.
Nor are they
dried fig.
Nope. No, or even if you go into like some of the appetizing places or the fruit market things, and you get these packages of figs that aren't dried. They're figs, but they're not necessarily like the real fresh figs. Let me tell you, you haven't tried figs until you've plucked them off, washed them off, and yeah, okay, occasionally you end up eating an ant. You just do, you know. You don't even it's
protein.
In there somewhere. And you
that provides you with protein, David.
Oh, the ant, you know, that's good. They're a little bit of crunch, because figs tend to be soft and mushy. So you get that little nice anty taste, a little crunch. The black ant tends to be meatier. The red ant has more fire to it. You know, you feel like a spicy fig. You want to get a couple of red ants in there. Don't even know what I'm saying.
People are going to think that we're weird.
Well, people think. How do we get on this? And stuff that you're allowed to eat and stuff that you're not allowed to eat. So,
right.
You live on a fairly proscribed diet, because the arthritis stuff is very recent, as far as not being able to have these certain nightshade veggies. But there are other things that you've had to give up over the course of a few years for
number
weight.
Number one was salt.
Yeah.
And salt was difficult. But,
how did you manage? Yeah.
You know, sugar was not a problem because sugar, you've got sweetened low, and it's, for me, it's a perfect substitute.
Mm-hmm.
But salt, when you get your taste buds attuned to that, all of a sudden you're not eating salt, everything tastes so bland.
Yeah.
What?
Are they able
used to not eating salt?
Is there something?
Then when you taste something that's salty, it's too salty.
Right.
And you don't want it anymore.
Yeah, there's got to be that balance thing of like, if you go a week even, where you've really cut down your salt or your sugar intake, and then you have something sweet or salty the way you used to have it, and
right.
Like, wow, was I really eating that? Was that, whoa.
How about that?
which is a good thing, I guess. Your body recalibrates itself, and then you want less of this evil, naughty, bad thing.
You didn't give up salt.
Well, no, but there are times when I will seriously cut back on sugar a little bit, or some of the other things, or, you know, if my wife is doing more of sort of the food preparation and salads and stuff like that, and then after a few days of eating that kind of thing, I have more of what I normally or used to eat, and it's salty or sweet or whatever it is, and I'm like, woo, you know. And then my eyes go, wah, and it's not necessarily pleasant. I mean, sometimes I'll get soup. I'll get soup from a restaurant, and probably in the quote-unquote old days, I would have been okay. And then I'll have the soup, especially like if I'm not feeling so well, and I need chicken soup or something, and I get it from some Chinese place locally. And I'm like, whoa, like it's like a bowl of salt.
Right.
And I'm wondering how much of that is me. And how much of that is the restaurant itself? You know,
well, this week, of course, salt is not a good thing.
Well,
a year or two or three, and they'll come out and tell you that, oh, salt is a preservative. It'll keep you young.
Well, don't forget, I was in the generation where they invented Gatorade. And what was Gatorade? Oh, it was replacing salts.
Salts, right.
So if you worked out, if you ran track, if you...
Well, yeah, you were sweating, perspiring like crazy. You know me.
Uh-huh.
And you remember the story about my uniform? The color of my uniform?
No.
Oh, man.
When you were in the Air Force.
I was in the Air Force. And everybody had these light green... fatigues.
Mm-hmm.
And we're out on the field, and I guess we were doing calisthenics or whatever, and it was the middle of the summer.
Yeah.
And this captain takes a look at me, and he says, Lefkowitz, how come everybody in the unit has light green fatigues except you? You've got dark green. And I said, no excuse, sir. He says, no, really, how come? I said, it's sweat. He says, oh, you will stop sweating. I said, yes, sir. Immediately.
You will stop sweating.
Yeah.
Did he say that with a smile, or?
Are you kidding? This guy had no sense of humor. He weighed about 300 pounds at least.
Yeah.
And his joy was they would play Johnny on the pony. And he would never be the pony, but he'd always be Johnny.
Wait a minute, what is that?
Oh, you make a line of guys.
Yeah.
You're all bent over.
Oh, my God. Is this what went on in the military?
Yes.
And they say don't ask, don't tell, huh? Okay.
No. Not like that.
Johnny on the pony, huh? Oh, sergeant! Giddy-up!
You bend over.
Where's my harness? Did you enjoy this game, Dad? Did you enjoy
not
it a lot? Did you enjoy it way too much?
Were
you walking bow-legged when you came back from basic training?
And one guy... And one team, I should say.
Yeah.
They come.
Would they? Running, yes. Oh, yes.
A running jump and see how far they can go from the beginning of the pony toward the head of the pony.
Yeah.
And then the idea is to land with such force that it forces the pony to break.
So those people are jumping on people's backs, basically.
Right, exactly.
What kind of retard thinks this stuff up?
Now, mind you, this guy was, 300 pounds or so?
Yeah.
He would always be Johnny. He would never be the pony.
Of course.
And so we could never get even with him. And his greatest delight was to hurt somebody.
Really?
Oh, yeah. He was a piece of work.
Whatever happened to him?
I don't know, but I know what I would like to... Yeah. Now, Mom doesn't want me to wish...
Oh, evil on people.
Right.
Who's this... What was his name, anyway?
You think I remember? Captain something. Okay. I don't...
Really? You don't remember what he was called, or what you had to call him?
No.
That's amazing.
I have thankfully been able to put him out of my thoughts.
I hope you kept him out of your ass. I'm the pony. You're the pony. I'm Angel Cordero. Get ready.
As I said, when correctly viewed, everything's glued.
Well, glue factory for him. Oh, my. At least he went and bothered to do a running start. So maybe he could run at 300 and something pounds. Good. What other games did you guys play in the military? What kind of nonsense is that?
Wait a minute. The whole team, their whole team, would jump on us.
Yeah.
And the first guy to jump would go as far as he could.
Yeah.
And if it didn't break at that point, he would go further forward. And eventually you would wind up supporting the entire opposing team, unless the pony broke.
Well, it's just a line of guys in a row or on each other's shoulders. Now I'm a little confused.
No. You're as I said, you're bent over.
Yeah. But, yeah.
And you're one behind the other.
Right.
And you're forming back like a horseback.
Right.
And the guy jumps on you.
On someone's back or potentially someone's neck.
Yeah.
Was anybody...
Oh, there are plenty of injuries.
Okay. What was the point of this marvelous game?
Just so that I think the drill instructor could torture us.
Well, yeah. But, I mean, it can't just be one instructor who's allowing this. It's got to be within the Army book of things to do.
No, I think they did this in school, too.
Oh, they outlawed that nonsense by the time I was in school. We never had anything like Johnny on the Pony. I mean, you know, we had Naked Twister. That was fun. But not Johnny on the Pony.
Well, I bet if your Uncle Les were here,
he
could tell you that he saw it and maybe participated. I don't know. Well, although... Could have not been around when he was in school.
He was in Mary Lick the Squid, which was a much lighter version of the game.
He was 10 years after. He's younger than me.
Yeah.
So, but
Mary Lick the Squid is a much gentler version. I mean, because then you just have to do like these five people being the arms, and you sort of wave around, and then.
Well, they didn't give this the option.
The other team forms a giant tongue. It's really. It's kind of interesting, actually. Fun to watch, especially,
And you had one guy standing against the wall.
Yeah.
And then the first guy making up the pony would put his head ram it against the guy on the wall into his belly.
Yeah.
And then the next one comes behind the first one, and they form a chain. And that's the pony.
All right. Enough of this. It's so disturbing. So were there
on
any...
On so many levels, yes.
Yes. No. Was that the sickest, weirdest, stupidest thing they did? Probably not, but do you remember anything else that they made you do in our wonderful, gloriously over-compensated armed forces?
Well, I remember the cleaning parties.
What was that? Everybody took a toothbrush and cleaned the bathroom?
Pretty much.
Yeah. At least that is sort of...
Truth of the matter is, by the time I got to Ohio, when I first was in basic training, the quarters were right out of tobacco. No. That's not true. No, the quarters were decent, but they housed like 50 men in a room. A big room, but... And double bunks. and double deckers.
Mm-hmm.
And it was not pleasant life.
Well, yeah.
You know, on just about, they come around and wake you up. Oh, mm-hmm. And even better, at all hours of the night, usually 2 or 3 in the morning, you're fast asleep, they have a fire drill. And you're not supposed to take time to put anything on.
Uh-huh.
So here you are in your skivvies, and you go out, and we happen to be stationed in Vermont.
You know, so, of course, wonderful Vermont weather in the winter, yeah.
And Vermont, even in the summertime, at that hour of the morning, is cold. We're all standing there shivering like crazy. But the other was in Texas.
Uh-huh.
And Lackland, that's where we did our basic. And that was not a question of cold. It was hot as hell. And supposedly they gave you off. You didn't have to have any duty on a day when the temperature rose above a certain point.
If that cold, I'm not going to be making any duty.
Yeah.
Cold, my sphincter is going to be pretty darn tight. Tighter than I wanted even when I was playing Johnny on a Pony. I would want a real tight sphincter in that situation.
But they somehow or other managed to completely ignore that.
Yeah.
And we would go about our normal activities no matter what the temperature. And in Texas, it got pretty hot, as you can imagine.
Yeah. Well, the Army and the Navy and, of course, the Air Force that you were in has its own kind of ridiculous logic. And I guess there's rules and wisdom for everything, but it always just seems when you hear the stories of what they would do just for to keep people occupied and to keep everyone in it on some kind of basic grunt level and not questioning and just doing stupid things because, you know, the captain said so or the sergeant said so. That just seems to be the, 90% of it.
Well, the idea being that if you get into a bad situation, they cannot tolerate your questioning orders. So the trick is to make you obey without thinking.
So any stupid thing the Army, we got to do this, do it, let's just do it. That's what they're saying we should do.
Yeah, do it. Get it over with.
Now, before, we've got to move on with the show because Jeff Goodman has walked in. He's seen the whole Tony Awards. So in a couple of minutes, we'll be doing Inside Broadway with our Tony wrap-up and our Tony special wrap-up. But before I let you go, Dad, first of all, I want to wish you a happy Father's Day.
Thank
and do you have any
you,
thoughts
you.
About remembering Lester Pinkow, who's a father
oh,
that
boy.
We lost in the family, about half a year ago?
I must say that there is no way I felt about him like a brother-in-law. I mean, to me, he was a brother.
Hmm.
He was an unusual, wonderful, competent, incredibly well-liked man. Everybody I ever knew, I ever met, or ever knew him, always had good things to say about him. He would do things. He would arrange, for instance,
mm-hmm.
my boss at the court
yeah.
was going to wherever, and Les, who had worked for Intercontinental Hotels for years, said, where is he going? And I gave him the city and the Intercontinental Hotel that he was staying at.
Uh-huh.
And they upgraded him to a suite, I guess.
Ooh, nice.
Yeah. No, they treated him like a VIP.
Well, good. Yeah, no, Les was a very, very cool guy. And you're a very, very cool dude, too, Dad. So happy, happy Father's Day. Love you like crazy. Best
Thank
wishes
you.
To you and Mom. And
oh
many, 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 many more.
You guys are the joy of my life.
Likewise, dude. I never call Dad dude except on the radio. Likewise, Dad. Love you much. Have a great night and talk to you soon. Bye-bye now. And we will be back with more Dave's Gone By and some Tony-related theater fun after these words from our sponsors. Inside Broadway, brought to you by Total Theater's Performing Arts Insider, your everything theater guide. La, 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 la. Ladies and gentlemen, yes, we are now finally done with, you know, it's always this big exhalation, this sigh of relief and also regret that even though the Broadway season ended a month ago, the real theater season ended about 40 minutes ago in New York with the 62nd Annual Tony Awards. They're done. They're finished. We did our big Tony show last night here at WGBB. I was here hosting. Co-hosting was Michael Riedel of the New York Post and PBS TV's Theater Talk, and my good friend and colleague, Jeff Goodman, who happens to be here again tonight. Jeff Goodman, hello!
Hi, we didn't get much right, did we?
Oh, I was pretty spot
Actually,
on.
Actually, you did. You knew the Gypsy would get all the acting.
Mm-hmm.
But there were a couple really weird winners.
No, one or two. I mean, I was kind of happy that Andy Blankenbuehler won for choreography for In the Heights, because I thought he did a really remarkable job all the way throughout. You guys were pulling a bit more, or you were certainly pulling for Crybaby.
Right. I was pulling for Crybaby just because I wanted to get something.
Yeah, well, and also Crybaby deserved on some... One, that's one of the things that was really special about the show.
Although it did do very well with the performance. I thought they did one of the better performances tonight.
Crybaby did?
Yeah.
What did they do, the prison thing?
Yeah.
Okay, that makes sense. It's one of the more exciting...
I'm a bit upset.
What, that he didn't win?
No, that's the name of the song.
Oh, sorry, I'm a bit upset.
A little upset.
A little upset. So, were you upset about any of the other wins tonight at the Tonys?
No, I was just surprised at a couple of things. I still don't think Palozat... or whatever.
Was that wonderful in South Pacific? He plays Emile Debeck?
I don't think it's a leading role.
Oh, interesting. Well, it's a little more than featured, but...
And I know they gave, Manuel Lin Herrera or whatever.
Lin-Manuel Miranda.
Yeah, that was it.
For which? For... He didn't win for being actor.
No, for actor, I would have liked to have seen him win.
Yeah, because he's really very charismatic, and he helps really make that show.
Although, it is, the thing is, he is playing himself, and also Stu is playing himself.
Himself, yeah.
So it's really... Good casting.
Although Stu isn't technically in Passing Strange, Stu
is playing the older himself.
And Daniel Breaker, who was one of our guests on the special last night, was. Well, how did you like doing the special last night on GBB?
I thought it was pretty good. I thought we did all right. I would have enjoyed talking more to our co-host.
Well, you talked a lot during the...
We talked during the breaks. I mean, I wish that those were taped.
Yes, oh my God. Well, the thing is, when we turn the mic off...
I had the better time off the air than on the air.
Because, if you thought that Michael Riedel and Jeff were, and I were going kind of crazy or making jokes or being a little snarky when we were on the air during the show, I almost wish we had a separate tape and what we're actually taping what we were saying when we were off. Because then we really dished the dirt. But
giving... Best Book of a Musical. I wasn't crazy about giving Best Book of a Musical to Passing Strange.
I'm okay with it, because it was a weak field. I know you like Xanadu a lot by Douglas
Well, I thought Xanadu, he really, really wrote his heart out, and I think that's the one award Xanadu should have won.
In a different year, Cary Butler might have had a shot, but not this year.
No.
And Cheyenne Jackson, too. I mean, they were pretty wonderful leads.
Cheyenne Jackson didn't even get a nomination.
Yeah, but he could have been up there.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, between Palozat and I got to roller skate.
I know.
Come to think of it.
Well, I mean, Palozat, I just don't see it. And then also,
what else?
Supporting actor, I would have liked to have seen Al Pal get it.
Who's, who?
In South Pacific.
Oh, Danny Burstyn.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was really, really marvelous. I knew Boyd Gaines was going to get it. It was the Gypsy trio.
Although it does turn out the Boyd Gaines and Danny Burstyn are very good friends.
Oh, that's nice.
Because Danny Burstyn especially pointed him out as he was thrilled to be in the same group.
Maybe they were in a show together at one point.
I'm sure.
And, also, and in that category was Daniel Breaker from Passing Strange, who was on last night. Ronnie Reed won!
Yeah.
I think I mentioned at the top of the show, or maybe it was in the pre-show, that this is the second year in a row that a guest on WGBB's Tony Special won the award.
It does help your chances of winning.
I mean, we could have interviewed Patti LuPone, too. I assume she won. Did she win?
Patti LuPone had a fairly interesting speech. I don't know if it's going to be make a great speech. She just went on and on and on.
Oh, no.
But it was good because she goes... So the band starts going, she goes, shut up, it's been 28 years, I have to talk about people.
But was it as bad as the famous Donna Murphy speech at the Drama Desk, like, 2 years ago?
No, it wasn't, you know, it really wasn't that bad.
Oh, okay. Did everybody else, were there any embarrassing moments? Because Jeff saw the ceremony on TV, I did not get to see it yet.
From Boeing, Mark Rylance gave a really odd speech.
What was it about? He did this at the Drama Desk, too. I went to the Drama Desk Awards this year a couple of weeks ago. And
it was about Rylance what was to wear.
Yeah.
He just...
And it's this really deadpan, and you don't know where the speech is going. Yeah. And then it doesn't go anywhere. That's the point.
No, it was like, if you're in the city, wear a suit and a tie. And if you're you know, in the country, it would be good to wear a little something orange and carry either a fishing pole or a shot, you know, or a gun or... I
think that was the same speech he gave at the Drama Desk.
What was that?
I think he just wanted to be completely, like, off the wall and different.
Well, he certainly...
He certainly was. I mean, how can the audience react?
People
like,
were just stunned.
It worked at the Drama Desk, though. There we kind of got it. I don't know why, but there it just sort of fit in. Because he's playing this goofy, nutty character.
Well, if you want to know what he said, on the Tony Awards website, they will have they will actually write out everyone's speeches.
Are they really going to transcribe?
Yeah.
Oh, that's going to be excellent.
Speeches, yeah.
I would like to read that one. Who had did Laura Benanti break into enormous amounts of tears?
She was pretty happy.
No, but when I saw her at the Drama Desk, she was the only winner who really cried. She was like really up there, like.
She didn't really. I don't think it was tears.
Okay.
You know, I was surprised that Anna Shapiro won for
directing. It was an Osage County night.
Yeah,
People like it, and they like the way it's directed. We both had problems with the direction and the way the whole stage was laid out, where some scenes are played all the way left, and some scenes are played all the way right. And they're important scenes.
And also the set design one, which was odd, because I didn't think...
It's a big old house.
I know. It's nice, but it's not the best set design.
The set that should have won and didn't was for musical, and they gave set design to South Pacific. And I thought it was a lovely, lovely set, but In the Heights should have won for set.
Or Sunday in the Park, depending on, again, or it should have won lighting, and it didn't win lighting. It didn't win anything.
Yeah, well, they didn't know where to put projections.
Yeah.
Wait a second, is it set, is it lighting, what is it? It's a screen with pictures on it.
But to give lighting design of a musical to South Pacific, too. That was like...
No, it was lovely. The mood was gorgeous.
And they gave lighting design of a play to 39 Steps, which is kind of on, even though, you know, it has great lighting features in it.
Right.
But it's just such a small little thing.
Well, when did I hear this years ago, and it really stayed in my mind, the fact that it is, believe it or not, in some ways tougher to light a thing with very little set elements where you're just lighting people and faces and then making that interesting and different. And creating, remember, lighting design had to make a train out of people, their coats that they were wearing,
right,
and sound. They didn't have a train in back of them.
Well, that's where direction comes in.
Yeah.
And that's why I think it should have won direction rather than Osage County. And it was the...
By the way, let me just throw the phones open also. So, folks, if anybody out there listening to our show has seen, watched the Tony Awards tonight on TV, or even if you've just gone to the theater recently and seen any of the shows that you're talking about, you want to be part of this conversation on this kind of, this looser this kind of more relaxed edition of Dave's Gone By. This is your chance. We almost never take phone calls. We're going to take some now if you want to call in. 631-888-8811 is the phone number. Area code 631-888-8811. Don't be shy. Give us a call. If you saw the Tony Awards, let me know what you thought. Let mm-hmm. Jeff and me know what you thought. Or if you went to see Passing Strange or In the Heights or The Homecoming or Xanadu or South Pacific or Gypsy or Sunday in the Park with George, any of these things, give us a call. This is the time.
And I was very glad The Homecoming didn't win.
Me too. That was a bit of a surprise that Boeing pulled it out after probably one because Homecoming closed and was just never going to pick up box office.
Right.
Whereas Boeing has a shot of being a hit.
Right. Well, maybe.
You don't think? Or you do think?
I don't know.
And it's a tourable kind of a play?
Yeah, it's an easy play, but...
And imagine if you're touring it, you can get every TV star in the book to play some of these roles and get that. By the way, again, 631-888-8811 is the phone number here at WGBB.
Is that 631-888-8811?
It certainly is, Jeff Goodman. So give us a call. Come on!
Now, back to the awards with the... See, I think they just... All the design awards just went to South Pacific for musical. I think that's where they just checked off all the boxes.
Langford,
South Pacific, we'll give it everything. And that's without thinking. And
people do that. And
I don't like that. I mean, but, you know, costumes they gave to Les Liaisons de Jour. I mean, it was weird because the play, they were all over the place.
Yeah.
They gave set design to Osage County, costumes to Les Liaisons de Jour. I mean, just because it's French.
Well, no, actually, some of the costumes were quite lovely. I mean, Laura Linney's, the things that she was wearing were quite special. They gave
lighting design to 39 Steps and the sound design to 39 Steps.
Yeah, but you would be happy about that. That kind of makes sense to me. I'll buy that. Because they had to create the whole thing through lighting and sound because there weren't huge sets.
Right.
So I'm kind of down with that. Now, what do you think about the splitting of book and score?
That was weird. I don't think that's happened in a long time.
Okay. Or book and score would be won by one thing, and then musical would be won by another.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. So
that was really... I mean, I think it was very strange. I think it was because of the huge response to the book of Xanadu. I think Xanadu took away from In the Heights,
okay.
And then Stu just kind of snuck in there.
But I'm worried now. I wonder if Passing Strange will, because it did not win Best Musical, it's been having some trouble getting traction at the box office.
And
this will not help.
No, and their performance was kind of odd because it really... I just don't think it worked for
audiences.
See,
the key song works really, really well in the show. That's the one they did, right?
Yeah.
She sang her keys, and then...
Yeah, well...
Did they go into Amsterdam also?
No.
Hmm.
Amsterdam, I think, would have been a better choice.
Right. So just... how does that... But you said it tailed off with everything's all right, everything's all right.
But it's very repetitive, and it was like... And he just kept... Everyone was jumping up and down the stage singing Everything's All Right.
Yeah.
It just didn't make much sense.
It works in the theater
because
more.
Because he comes down into the audience. He didn't cut. I was waiting for him to come down into the audience.
Yeah. Well, maybe that would have worked a little bit.
I know. If he went down and he got all the...
And he got people to do it.
Yeah.
That would have been a neat idea, actually. Now, In the Heights, the song that they did was what?
They started with the very beginning. And then they dubbed into 96,000 about the lottery winning.
Oh, okay.
Which was great.
Yeah. And
no, that really worked.
What did they do from... Because they made very specific trying in this Tony Awards because the ratings have been down year after year and they wanted to do a little something different. So rather than just highlight the nominated musicals...
Oh, they put everything on stage. Like, first of all, I know you want to know about Rent. I'll tell you about that in a second.
Sure.
But they also did The Little Mermaid and then...
Young Frank.
Yeah. But they did The Little Mermaid, A Catered Affair, and Young Frankenstein, like, in one segment.
Fair enough. Hey, in other years, they wouldn't have gotten up at
all.
Oh,
I know.
How was the segment, though? Did it show them off?
Not really. She just, you know, did the little song about her stuff, you know, how she collects her little crap.
Yeah, you mean the little mermaid,
Ariel.
Uh huh.
And then it went into the song, the one song from Catered Affairs.
Oh, the daughter song from Faith Prince? Or
no,
no
Faith, yeah, Faith Prince singing about the daughter, and it made no sense in the way, in the middle of the thing, because she's just looking at the daughter and the I guess, son-in-law, were like, she was in a wedding dress, you know.
What's the context?
And then they went...
Certainly with Young Frankenstein, they could have done something
they
cool.
They did Deep Love.
Oh, okay.
Which was okay, but that was just to show, what's her name?
Megan Mullally, because she's a TV star. They should have done a role in the hay.
What?
They should have done a role in the hay or a big
bigger
number than something like that. Did they have to truncate Deep Love? It's kind of a raunchy little number.
Yeah, they did. They did make it, you know, she had one verse and he got up and left and she said something about men leaving and...
Okay.
It didn't, you know.
Thing really.
You sat there and go, oh, that's why it didn't get nominated.
So what did you think of the Tony? You watched the whole thing, right? From 8 to 11? How was it as a whole?
I thought it was okay. I think they have to get more of a focus. I did like the Rent. The Rent part.
Oh.
Did really move
Don't
me
tell me they did 600
they
minutes.
Did, well, they did a lot of Rent.
Really?
It opened up with, the original Mark. I can't think of his name now.
Oh, Anthony Rapp.
Anthony Rapp talked about it and said something about Jonathan Larson dying before he ever, you know.
Well,
they talked about it changing, like, the way we see musicals and, you know.
Well, it was a huge influence. I saw an interview with Lin-Manuel Miranda, the guy who created In the Heights, and he said when he saw Rent, it totally changed his idea of what a Broadway musical was, what it could talk about.
Oh, yeah. Oh, it was brilliant. I remember seeing it a couple of days after Jonathan Larson died off-Broadway.
Yeah.
And I remember saying, I went there. I think it was Lincoln's actual birthday or Washington's actual birthday. It's February 12th or 21st, I saw it.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember it was a huge snowstorm, and like half the audience didn't show up. I'm sitting all the way stage left, and all alone, no one wanted to come with me. I drove in. I got my favorite part of that night is I got a parking space right in front of the theater. It was great. And the press agent came up to me and told me about, the author died. I said, nope, no idea. Mm. And I sat down, and I just remember being sucked so deep into that show where it was such a profound evening in the theater. I tear up thinking about it because it moved me so much. Not the fact that he had died, because actually I heard that during intermission. But really, it just took me right in, because I lived through that time, and it was talking to me. It was really...
That's how a lot of people felt. I never had quite that connection to Rent, but I appreciate it.
Well, you're a little bit younger.
Okay.
And it just talked directly to me and my friends and... You know, and the people who are dying of AIDS and people who are living with AIDS and the people who weren't affected only because they knew someone with AIDS. And it just was amazing how it just took everything. And the music was brilliant. But anyway, when they did this, they started with La Vie Boheme, and he talked about how they started singing, and then he said how it was great for them to do it on stage and how it changed everyone's life on April 29th, 1996, when it opened.
Yeah.
And then the whole original cast came back.
Oh, that must have been kind of neat.
Oh,
that
my God. And you realize who was in the original cast because...
Names and names.
People like, from Law and Order and...
Now I'm blanking, but I know exactly the folks that you're talking about.
And then
the woman from Wicked.
Wicked.
We must be tired.
And of course, Wicked is...
And Daphne Rubin Vega, who was a guest on Days Gone By.
Yeah, Daphne, who's always crazy, and I love her.
Yeah.
Daphne Rubin Vega was there. I mean, everyone, the original soloist was there.
Idina Menzel.
Idina Menzel was there.
And
she even, after she sang her little line, said, Rent really changed my life. And she grabbed...
That's right. She married.
Yes,
Taye Diggs.
Taye Diggs,
who was also in Rent. So, and finally, also, they did something for The Lion King?
Lion King opened the show.
Ah, with the opening of Lion King?
Of course. It was brilliant.
It's still sensational.
It was brilliant.
It's the only great part of the Lion King, but it's really great.
No, the whole Lion King is great.
Is it? I gotta see it again. If they'll let me.
It's still just...
So how was Whoopi Goldberg?
Whoopi Goldberg was actually pretty good. They had a lot of pre-taped stuff
where
she was in Spam. She was in, like, every Broadway show. And one of my favorite ones was when they left her last. She was in a chorus line.
Yeah.
And she was everyone in that, you know, in that triangle. Except they wouldn't let her be everyone. So they had to have Mario Lopez in front
of her. Reagan's, yeah.
Yeah. So it was Mario Lopez.
100% of women and 83% of men would rather look at Mario Lopez than Whoopi Goldberg. I'm sorry.
But she was good, you know. And she was, you know, in Spamalot, they have the Lady of Lake comes out of a suit of armor.
Yeah.
Of course, it was Whoopi who came out of the suit
of armor.
That's
really clever that they're showing all the shows on Broadway.
They
did. That's very wise of them. So it was a better show than last year, do you think?
Oh, yeah.
Very nice.
I think it was better than last year, for sure.
Well,
because last year was kind of a snooze fest.
Ooh, that's a shame.
Don't you think?
I never get to see them. I'm here.
Oh, well, I you know, last year, the only thing I was sitting for was waiting for to see the musical numbers from
From Spring Awakening that you
Spring Awakening and also Grey Gardens.
Oh, right.
Those are the two things I want to see.
Hmm.
And it was
this year you weren't that into either In the Heights or Passing Strange. So
well, I'll tell you, after I saw the In the Heights song, which really did work well, I realized why it was going to win. It's because it's all about heart and home, and it does have a very, very big heart, the show. And the others don't have that.
Ah, interesting. Well, so actually, Passing Strange does.
Passing Strange does a little bit, but you kind of, you know.
Passing Strange is very personal.
It's very personal.
In the Heights,
it's
love for a community.
Yeah, well, In the Heights, you can associate with it. Passing Strange, I didn't associate with it. I appreciate it, but I didn't associate with it.
Well, let me just express my appreciation, though, to you for being so great last night on the WGBB Tony show. It was really, really wonderful to have you
here. That was nothing.
You were really
fun. And let me tell you, I thought Michael was the best.
Michael is very, very good and very, very smart and very, very funny. Oh, the gospel folks are coming in,
oh
so we kind of have to wrap up the show. So we will do that after these messages.
Wow, time flew.
Remaining moments of Dave's Gone By. We've just been inside Broadway, thanks to TotalTheater.com and Performing Arts Insider.
Let's start at the very beginning.
Whether you're at the very beginning, the middle, or the end of the Broadway season, everything you need to know about Broadway, off-Broadway, cabaret, opera, and dance is in the pages of Performing Arts Insider Theater Magazine, available 21 times a year or just in the monthly edition. Either way, Dave's Gone By listeners get 10% off. So subscribe now to Performing Arts Insider and find out all the information at PerformingArtsInsider.com.
I'll make it easier for you.
Ah, fine wine, great books, priceless antiques. All that's missing is something to listen to. But of course, episodes of Dave's Gone By, the music, the comedy, the perceptive talk, entire shows preserved on compact disc. Any episode you choose, just $11, shipping included. No home is complete without Dave's Gone By on CD. So visit davesgoneby.org because you're worth it.
Hi, this is Charles Bloom, and you are listening to Dave's Gone By with Dave Lefkowitz on WGBB in Freeport. And indeed, the best things in life are Freeport.
Dave's Gone By.
Dave's Gone By.
Dave's Gone By.
Yes, there goes the neighborhood, ladies and gentlemen. We have to leave the neighborhood very, very shortly.
Listen,
what was that?
I want someone to make a song about Jeff Goodman that way. Jeff Goodman.
I can play the wailing song.
No.
Come on.
It does not.
Have it here with me. I can do it.
No, it's okay.
We don't have time tonight.
But by the way, I just want to tell you that the CBS, the production of the Tony Awards did end at precisely 11 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
But I sit there and I always go, why did I, you know, I know CBS, like, admonishes them as if it doesn't end at 11 o'clock, we're not picking you up. And I just sit there going, What would be delayed so much? You know,
a rerun of CSI, you said.
The CSI rerun on Sunday night after the news. You have the news, you have the sports show, and then a rerun of CSI. There's nothing.
And the Oscars can go until 12:17.
I know. It's like.
Whatever. And but meanwhile, hey, at least CBS gets 3 hours now instead of two. So they can't complain too much.
Well, that's the thing is, why can't they do. And they, once again, they didn't show the presentation of the.
The Design Awards?
The Design Awards. And they just glossed over it very quickly.
Because they wanted more room for a show.
Which is okay, but why not let PBS then start it an hour earlier? And
I have a four-hour Tony show. Well, not everybody's as crazy for theater as we are.
Yeah, but that's okay. They don't have to watch the PBS show.
Yeah, that's true. Anyway, you know what you should be watching or listening to every week? This program, Dave's Gone By, on every Sunday night at 11 on WGBB Freeport. They are here listening now, but reminding you that we're on WGBB Freeport, that we're sponsored by Performing Arts Insider, the Bible of Broadway. Go to performingartsinsider.com for more info on that. Hewlett Minuteman Press, the copy Kings of Broadway, with 10% off for all Dave's Gone By
next
listeners.
Next to the defunct Loman Shoes.
It's like the empty place that was Loman Shoes.
Skeletal remains of Loman Shoes.
So just the heels are left. All the rest of the shoes are gone. And Fancy Schmancy Balloons, tell us very quickly something about Fancy Schmancy, please.
Oh, if you want your party decorated, give me a call at 516-797-3229.
Very nice. 797.
All your party needs.
All your party needs. 797-3229. Area code 516. If you have any comments or thoughts about this program, please direct them to davesgoneby@aol.com. That's D-A-V as in Victor, E-S, goneby@aol.com. And check my website for all sorts of stuff about the show, davesgoneby.org. You can still hear 25 older shows from about 3 years ago by going to davesgoneby.org. And you can hear our last 25 shows. Every show in 2008 up through last week is at the radio station website, AM1240WGBB.com.
And how about the Tony Show? When will that be rerunning?
Sometime this week. We're going to record it, and we're going to put it on the website as well. Oh, and I didn't get to say it yesterday, but thank you to Time Out New York for putting in a little bitty blurb about the Tony special. The Daily News wasn't able to do it this time because that damn Jim McKay had to die. So the column that David Hinckley was going to write that was going to include us, we didn't get in there. But Time Out put us in, so thank you to them.
And we're very sorry that Jim McKay died. On a number of different levels.
Yeah, Tim Russert, too. Bye-bye. Oh, and Peter Capitan. I didn't get to say that on Inside Broadway. Peter Capitan was a dancer and a musical actor who was in Olympus on My Mind off-Broadway back when I ran the box office for them years ago in another life. Nice guy. And he died rather young this past week. So farewell to him. Want to thank, again, all my helpers on the Tony Show, Michael Regal, Jeff Goodman, all the critics who called in, all the two nominees, Tony winner Rondi Reed and Daniel Breaker as well. Thanks to everybody who helped out on that, and especially to my beautiful, darling wife, whose birthday it is right now. Happy birthday to you, even though you're sleeping. Happy birthday, dear Joyce. Come on, it's my wife. Hello. I love her very, 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 very much. Thanks to Philip Lefkowitz, my dad, for being a guest on this program. Happy Father's Day yesterday to Dad, and love to Mom, too. It was great seeing you both. And, you know, if you want to say a little thing for your dad, where he is now, you can do that or not. That's totally up to you.
Well, he's gone.
I know, but wherever he is.
I don't know where
he... Or wherever he might be.
He doesn't call.
Jeff lost his dad a year ago, so I thought maybe...
No, it's quite right.
It's okay. In the coming weeks on this program, we have satirist Bruce Kluger, author of the book Young Dick Cheney. Very, very smart and funny fella. We also have... pianist, jazz pianist, as well as an author, Sarah Sion, very, very funny, is going to be talking to the rabbi, so we're getting the rabbi back, and really cool stuff, Dr. Dirty, John Valby, will be on this program in the weeks ahead. So you got to listen every week to Dave's Gone By, but right now it's time to leave the neighborhood. Well, I'll be back next Sunday, June 22nd, 2008, with the 279th episode of Dave's Gone By. So until then, don't miss your days going by. This is Dave Lefkowitz.
And Jeff Goodman.
We're going to go out with a little bit of Turk Murphy just for my dad. So as we do it, we're wishing you good night, happy Tonys, happy Father's Day, Happy birthday, Joyce. Happy summertime, everybody.
And gone by.